Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Margaret.
Good morning, Margaret. You're sounding pretty perky.
Yeah, I feel very good this morning. Somebody told me they'd call me back yesterday, and sure enough, he did. Yay! I thought he was pissing me off, but he wasn't. So that made me feel real good.
That's awesome.
Good job, Margaret. Mary Lou's here, too.
Good morning, Mary Lou. Did you get my email last night, or might you send it?
I got it, yep. I didn't understand the one question about a drastic slide. I don't know what that meant.
Doctor told you not to do something so drastic?
Oh. I don't know.
Okay, I'll just not have it.
I haven't looked at them all yet. I'll see how it fits.
Yeah, I think it'd be better not to, probably. Unless you don't think that we want to, so.
No, I don't particularly care to.
Okay, good. That's fine. I mean, I think that this call is more apropos.
Yes. So, where is everybody? There's only two of us on the WebEx, you and me.
Now I see.
I'm trying to get on.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm having trouble getting on, too, this morning.
Oh, good morning, Monty.
Good morning.
Steve is probably on the call, and somebody else is on the call. Good morning, good morning. Well, time to get started.
When I get this file, it would let me put it where I want to put it.
You put it in documents?
I can. Yep, I can. Okay, I found it.
Or on desktop.
I have a folder for Dennis and Ruth's presentations. That's where it's going, right?
Your problem. So, good morning, everybody. Welcome to all of good morning. I guess I have instead of turn the chimes off. Good morning. Who else is on the call? Wants to say hi?
Hi, this is Karen.
Good morning, Karen. Is it daylight over there on the other side of the mountain?
A little bit, uh-huh.
It's daylight here.
It's what? For the report for the mountains, because Dennis is driving over them today.
Oh, yeah. I will tell you that Clyde had to chain up yesterday coming back across. They wouldn't, we have studded tires, but the police were pulling people over and making them chain up.
Oh, lovely. Dear. So, you know, our son and daughter-in-law live there at Ravensdale by Maple Valley, and it snowed there yesterday from 7 till noon.
I thought we were all through with the snow, and well, I don't know what it's doing right now because it's too dark for me to see, but it just snowed all day yesterday, the day before, and, anyway. Sunny Arizona, that's where we should be.
It's pretty nice in Tennessee this morning, the sun's shining, and it's warm.
Okay. And the chimes are off. Did you hear that? Can you hear that, Karen?
What did you say?
Did you hear the chimes?
No.
Yeah, I heard the chimes.
Okay, I didn't hear the announcement that they're turned off, though.
They are turned off at this point.
Okay.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Thursday. It's a very rainy Thursday here. I'm saying, I was thinking this morning that the people that are on this call have chosen to make changes in their life for having a change to a better health lifestyle for a better life. And so I want to congratulate all of us and you for that. And so we've seen the chart. We're familiar with that, and I'm not going to go through that. Just want to have it here. So if anybody was on here, but there's not anybody on here who hasn't seen it. So and here's the pH chart with acidic on the left and the alkaline on the right, so we know how to be able to feed ourselves. And here is a picture of a plate with how we proportion our meals so that we can stay in pH balance and have more energy and health. And then here is a picture, the slide that is about inflammation is a common denominator to chronic diseases, and that is the main focus of our calls is anti-inflammation. But we do not want to end up in these diseases, and we don't want our friends and relatives, everybody, to end up there either. And so that's our mission is to teach people how to have an anti-inflammatory life. And so the question is, how will you avoid a toxin attack? And
a what?
A toxin attack. The reason I am speaking about this today is I recently had one and ate out. So we have the list here with all the different MSGs and everything, and then GM foods and a few others to avoid, and those are on the YB Hurton website. The next one is the kind of recognizing where we might find one of these chronic attacks. So there are toxins that are related to our environment, and so the question was, how can we avoid having a toxin attack? And the thing is that some of the toxins are invisible. Most all the toxins we're subject to are invisible. And of course, some of them may be in the air and in the water and in the food, and maybe, but some of them are the food, and that would be the acidity we've been talking about, right? And some of them, especially like the ones in the food, even the ones in the toxins, it's not something that you will notice that you have had an attack, because it's there's chronic, something that builds up in our body. We're just getting toxins and toxins from our air, from our water. And some of the air may be outside, but a lot of it may be in our house. And it may be effective immediately or as a chronic or deadly result after repeatedly being subjected to the toxin. And that's where we've seen that healthy child, healthy world, and we're trying to make our world more healthy. And so we have a Nican water. I'm going to get my little dot. And the Mekan air filters, so that we can filter out those toxins in our home and make an environment that is much safer for us, for our body, kind of like a greenhouse in protecting a plant. And how we attempt to have as few toxins attacking us as possible. And so, but then there's in the food, eating out, well, how can we be able to protect ourselves there? So what we are doing is self-education here. And so here we go to a restaurant, and I went to the restaurant on Tuesday evening. And, of course, when we go to the restaurant, we always ask them, do they have MSG in their food? And so the problem is that they don't know they have MSG in their food. And so I think we need to be asking a different question. And I think maybe we should talk about this a little bit. When can it be deemed safe what they're serving? I'll tell you what happened to me. So I was doing the presentation Tuesday evening, and I went to the restaurant. The people who had set the meeting up and the dinner up made sure and asked them if there was completely no MSG in the restaurant. They said they were very sure that there was no MSG. And then I asked them the same question when I got there. I didn't know they'd already asked it. But I knew that they tried to make sure that there wasn't any. And so I asked them, and because I was speaking, I decided just to eat some soup. And so I had a big bowl of egg drop soup. And I had no more than finished eating my egg drop soup. And it felt like my eyebrows and forehead swelled up and my cheekbones swelled up. And clear to the point, it felt like my teeth were swollen, you know. Anyway, and then I felt both swollen and kind of numb and shaky. And so I knew I'd had something. And I was thinking about, well, after, then I drank out of the whole bottle of my Pymag sports bottle, drank all that water, and just kind of sat there. And a couple of people gave me some power chips. And, you know, I think they made a whole lot of difference because I think I was swollen, and I guess I was pretty flushed. I didn't know what was going to happen next, and so it was kind of scary. But we can be, any of us can run into some kind of toxins, and come up with MSG. A lot of people aren't as sensitive to it as I am, and you're getting it anyway. It's affecting your brain. It's affecting your body. It may be that it will just keep building up or destroying part of our neurons. And so I was thinking about what should be done there. And one of the things I thought, you know, the restaurants that we go to that are really safe are the ones that they say they start from scratch. They make their food. There are quite a few of them on that, several of them, anyway, I should say, on Vashon. They don't get packaged ingredients from someplace else, and we've been at some as we travel in California. Sometimes that there are restaurants like that. Florida, not so much. We go to Florida, Texas, and California, probably the most of the other states. And California, I think, is usually the best. There's some good restaurants. But I wanted to see if any of the rest of you have thought of ways to avoid having this. I need some help. I'm going to have to just eat at home. So is there any ideas?
Well, I did. I'm asking those questions too, Ruth, and I did find a restaurant here that everything is prepared from scratch. The place was practically empty. They're a new restaurant, so I'm trying to help spread the word about that place. But, you know, the greatest place to get that, I think, is we end up, they always say no MSG added. But Chinese restaurants are great for saying no MSG added, but they end up with that packaged food getting into their kitchen, just like Marty was talking about, a lot of the chains and stuff. Because I had that same bad experience. Where was it? At Olive Garden. Yeah, at the Olive Garden. So I agree with you. We just need to ask. Or else the only other thing I can ever get, I guess, is a salad somewhere and with just vinegar and oil or lemon to squeeze on my salad. But it's scary. I didn't realize I was so... I don't get the terrible headaches like you do from it, but boy, it just makes me, my joints hurt everywhere.
Wow. So we should certainly need to let them know. The owner was just appalled because he knew that he was just really thought that he didn't have any. I said, well, he doesn't know the other name, so Ralph was going to take the list over there and show and find out, you know, which one did he, what did he have in there?
Wow.
But anyway, it is pretty scary. And so another thing we should probably now think about is what do we do about it? What do we do immediately when we're having a reaction like this? We did have a nurse practitioner there. Dallas was there, and that was comforting, really, to know. They kept asking me, are you breathing? Can you breathe? Can you breathe? Are you having trouble breathing? And no, I'm not having that such problem. But a person could have.
Yeah.
I mean, I had never had this particular reaction from anything before. I didn't really have a headache. I had a sort of a headache all day yesterday, but anyway, these things are really dangerous, and they're more dangerous to some other people than they are to me. So far, you know, I haven't had a breathing problem or something. So.
Well, one of the things that I think we really need to be aware about, and I'm going to speak on this a little bit tomorrow, and that is because of the media, social media, Twitter, blah, 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 blah. The food industry and our government, the food industry, because when government passes a regulation that says, okay, this is, I'll use an example, MSG, but it doesn't say monosodium glutamate or whatever. It says flavoring, or it says seasoning, or it says spice, or whatever. That the industry is coming up with ways of labeling things differently than what they, as we look at it, what they mean. And so that's why a lot of people, particularly in the restaurant industry, don't, you know, they're thinking, if they're looking for MSG, or the modium soda, whatever that name is, and it's really what it really is. So when they don't see that, but they don't look at a flavor or a spice or something like that, so they mentally, because they're not up on it the way that we are or the way that most people are, but the government allows those things to be labeled as such, and so, and we know this to be true. It's just a way of hiding something in the ingredients. And I think it all goes back to that whole thing, you know, that if you go, and Ruth, you mentioned it many times, and other people have, that if you go to the grocery store, and you buy something in a can or a package or whatever, that if it shows more than five ingredients, you better stay away from them, because there's something in there that somebody's trying to hide, but it doesn't say exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that's the same way what happens with the restaurant industry, is that they're looking for these things because they know people don't want it, but they're looking for MSG. They're not looking, they don't understand because of the education they don't have. All they have education to do is how to prepare this dish, what the ingredients are that goes in this dish. So when they reach over and they grab a spice or they grab a whatever, or it comes packaged to them as such, whether it be a package of spice or flavor or coloring or whatever it particularly be, they don't get it. And that's because of the way things are now starting to be hid from us. And tomorrow I'm going to talk about addiction, food addiction, and how the food industry, because of the government, is why do we so crave, and why do our, well, I'll get into it tomorrow, but I just think they're ignorant to the fact they don't really understand what MSG is nowadays.
Well, you know, and there's more to it than just that. Now, Ruth had a very dramatic reaction to that. How many of us eat, whether it's in a restaurant or in our homes, we will eat things and not have that dramatic reaction, and yet it's still impacting our body, and over the long run, we are developing inflammation in our body. And I think of myself. Now, I'm allergic to wheat. I shouldn't say I wish, but I do not have that kind of a reaction to wheat. I can eat it a number of days before it really gets to my body. And if it wasn't that somebody brought it to my attention that it's the wheat that's doing that, I would never know that. So, Ruth, when you have that dramatic reaction, that really pinpoints immediately what you have to stay away from. But so many of us take in toxins into our body that we don't even recognize we're doing that.
I agree. I think that it's a real, I think it's really dangerous that way. And sometimes I say, you know, I'm one of the luckier ones because I know that that's bad for my body. And I know from what we studied that's bad for everybody's body. Especially, you know, I don't know what kind of reaction type of thing this was, how that happened, but usually if I have MSG, I get zigzags or an ocular migraine, which is not the horrible headaches I used to get from it, but it feels like it's killing off my neurons, and so, and we know that, that's what it's doing to your body. Only if you don't notice it or you don't react as strongly, then you don't even know it, like you say.
Yeah.
And what else, you know, the different things are for the gluten. Same with me. I can eat them, and it doesn't, I don't notice at all until just after a while. Well, then I'm having all these digestion problems and all the things that are related. But it takes a long time, and itchy things and psoriasis and stuff from it. But you don't notice it, and you don't even know where it came from. I had no idea until I went to the naturopath that this is probably the culprit, the gluten.
You know, the
takes
way
you a long time to get it out of your body, at least a month to get it out of your body, and one little bit, and it's back in again.
The way I look at toxins is it's kind of like arsenic, you know, and that is you can kill a person with arsenic. You can give them a large dose of arsenic, you know, and they're dead, you know, 15, 20 minutes later. Or you can give people very small doses of that particular thing, which we've been getting in our food for quite some time because of whatever, is that all of a sudden your body, that little bit of toxin today and a little bit of toxin tomorrow, and we don't get an effect from it, but all of a sudden our body reaches a point to where all of a sudden that little bit of toxins, whatever it be, MSG or pesticides or herbicides or whatever, and then boom, all of a sudden we're hit with it, and our body, because the type of toxins that we're getting in it, doesn't all of a sudden that next day kick all that toxin out and we're toxin free. It's a buildup, and all of a sudden we get build up, and they're reaching our tolerance level, and our body says, that's it, boom, and all of a sudden we're hit with something. And that's the way I feel about toxins, is that, but in my opinion, you're probably had so much MSG over your life, it's possibly something has built up, and boom, you just have a little bit of something, and man, it smacks you. Well, but like Karen says, I might be able to have a little bit of MSG, and it not bother me. But I believe as I get more MSG in my body, that eventually I would have those kind of attacks, which then my body talks to me and says, "Hey, you got a problem," and all of a sudden this inflammation occurs, and everything else to where. Sometimes it doesn't. It's just like, you know, you can eat a little bit of this, and all of a sudden it builds up, and wham, you got it. That's my feeling, anyhow. I've nothing to back that up. But.
Well, I think you made a really, very good case and an analogy with arsenic. I mean, that's exactly what's happening to us. And that's such a good analogy and explanation, Monty. I really think that's true, and it really paints the picture as it is. One of the things I've got this little pimple now, I can't get rid of it. The severity of toxic poisons is individual and probably genetic. My mom was very sensitive to all these things as well. And it's partly inherited.
You know, we probably need to print that sheet off that you've got there where Dr. Blaylock listed all the different things that are really... that they're putting on labels, and we need to make sure. I mean, I'm glad that you said that they're going to take that list over to the owner of the restaurant and let him know that those are things that are also MSG. So
I agree, Mary Lou.
We need to carry that in our purse.
Yeah, we should carry it around all the time.
Yeah.
I should, for sure. And then maybe some of them are more I don't know if they're more common or they're the, I've kind of put a little mark by some of them here, not very neatly. But the ones that I think that are most likely to have an MSG, and I'm not sure what some of the rest of these may be MSG, but, I've never noticed that I ever reacted to any kind of milk things that are over here on the right-hand column of this first list. But the soy,
I do. I believe that all the lumps that I had were all toxins. I've told you that before, and I believe that it was all these, the soy protein, isolate soy protein, that I believe that was all of those. I never knew that it was MSG, but I think that's
where I
got in trouble.
I had cans of this textured protein, hydrolyzed protein. You know, it was soy, and I thought that was a good protein. And I added to her shakes and different things. Mm-hmm. And in the last year, I threw it all away. And then I didn't realize it was the MSG thing. I just thought it was something that was unnatural and not good for you. Too much soy and all that. So.
Well, that's quite
sad. Is that our government supposedly is supposed to be protecting us, and I can tell you, you just cannot count on the FDA or whoever's supposed to regulate these things. They really, I think they're in cahoots in some size.
Right. I agree. Monty, did you have something?
Are you there?
We're here.
All you got to remember is just like in politics or whatever, just follow the money. So when FDA or whatever you want to call it, you always got to remember that the food industry, being as powerful as it is, the money that they have, if you realize the amount of money that is spent on advertisement alone, just stop and think about that. So when you have, we talk about the government, they're making decisions not necessarily based on you and me and our health and their own health. They're based on, I don't want to call it kickbacks or whatever, but it's just...
That's what it is.
That's why it's so important, and what, in teaching that you're doing now with the whole foods and all that kind of stuff, it's almost like the less amount of food you can take out of a package or have some sort of ingredients on it and go strictly to plants, and I know I'm not in that position to where I can have my own little garden or whatever, I guess I could with all the land, but my point is, we got to eat whole foods, and we got to get away from the stuff because of what's happening to us in regards to the crap they're putting in our body for the main reason, and it has nothing to do with toxins, it has to do with addiction. Why do we eat and crave the foods that we do? I'm getting into what I'm going to talk about tomorrow. Why do our children, why are they the way they are? Do we want our children to be obese at 2 years of age and whatever? No, we don't. But because of the food they're putting and the things that they're putting in our foods in the fast food market, our children and most of us, like I, why did I go from one sausage McMuffin and a hash brown? Why did I keep increasing the amount? Because of the stuff they're putting in our bodies, we don't get that satiety or that fullness feeling, and we got it because we're addicted, just like a cocaine person. You can start out, let's say, smoking a joint, and all of a sudden they're into the other things. It's because our body starts craving it and craving it and craving it. And that's what's going on with the FDA as far as I'm concerned. I'll leave it at that. Sorry, whatever.
Well, and that's what they say, that they're doing it so that it will purposely be addictive. That's why they're putting the MSG in there, because it is an addictive substance.
And that's why they're hiding it in the ingredients and other things than the word MSG or modium sodium, whatever it is. And that's why the people that prepare our foods don't really know. They can't really honestly say. They, in their heart, they're honest, but they honestly, it's not there. It's there, and I know it's there.
Mm-hmm. So there's your experience probably gave Ralph a great prospect. He's gonna educate that owner of that restaurant.
We talked to him a little bit.
I'm sure.
Well, that's why the idea about taking things when we have a particular situation or get a reaction from a food, there's a real nice way of going to people and say, here's a list of things, blah, 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 because, maybe it might not be as nice as Ruth, but, people are going a little bit crazy today in regards to lawsuits and everything else, so I'll leave it at that. But I think if you present it in the right way, it could be very favorably accepted.
Well, that's what you mentioned, the lawsuits, and that was sort of funny. They have a rule at their restaurant. I wanted some antihistamine, a non-sleepy, because I was going to do a presentation and drive home. I didn't want to take anything that was going to knock me out and make me sleepy or tired, but I needed an antihistamine. And so I asked him they had some at the store, and he said, no, they had some, but they couldn't give it to us because there was danger of lawsuits.
There's the government again.
Poison me here with MSG, but you're not going to give me an antihistamine to counteract it here.
Oh, my gosh.
Excuse me.
It sounds horrible, but that might be ultimately the effort.
What did you say, Kathleen?
It sounds terrible, but that might be ultimately the effort to just weaken us and get rid of us, I guess.
Oh.
Food. Did you see the one about the meat that they got this great big, looks like cotton candy almost, this pink goo, and they're putting it in all the hamburger and the meats and things, and they're making sure the school districts get it, and it scraps off the floor where they produce the rest of the meat and cut it and put it out. It's just scraps, and they fill it with fillers, and they put it in hamburgers and everything. A lot of hamburgers.
Yeah, they call it pink slime.
Yeah.
And don't they even soak it in ammonia or something?
They're feeding it, and they used to feed it just to animals, but now they feed it to people too, because they can soak it in ammonia or chlorine or something, they said.
And
so now it's in the hamburger.
And it's definitely served again in nursing homes and schools, because here we go again. Follow the dollar. The price of beef today, raised properly, is very, very expensive. And I shouldn't say not raised properly because of the antibiotics and stuff like that they're putting in the food, in the animals, because of want better growth, and they don't want to get sick and whatever. But just follow it. And when you stop and think of all the hamburgers that are served and foods, it all has to do with what does it cost me for this particular item? And that's when people that make up budgets or buy for institutions or whatever, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for to save the most amount they can. Because if you took a real hamburger from a nice, wonderful, grass-fed animal, you don't go to the grocery store and find that at 65 cents or 99 cents an ounce or a pound. You know, it's almost double to buy good, lean meat raised from grass-fed animals than it does just to go to your local grocery store and buy the, excuse me, I was going to say a word, but it all gets back to the dollar.
You know, we learned from Dr. Campbell's book, and you guys had the China study, and I know a lot of you did, but the thing that I remembered most about that book was when he was on those research groups testing different things, mostly dairy foods. He was invited because he had grown up on a dairy and he had that kind of a background, medical background also. Started out with a veterinarian. So he was on these research groups for the government, but he didn't know it was paid for by the dairy industry. And then when he came up with research, it was showing a problem, a health problem in the research. He was kicked off because he didn't agree with the ending research results that the company wanted to have, even though they said they were the government.
Well, just think about Dr. Naidu. Where did Dr. Naidu get, what was one of his first big breakthroughs or whatever? It had to do with the beef industry in regards to taking lactoferrin and spraying it onto beef and getting rid of the fecal. I don't want to say government's all bad, but you know, if they didn't have some of the testing that they do, but when that's why, to me, every morning I take my lactoferrin gold. I mean, you know, that really sunk into me when I really did some research into Dr. Naidu and found out that where he really made it big in the food industry, and that's kind of where he started. And maybe I'm a little wrong there, but you know what he did, and that's why I just know the crap that I'm putting in my body. In most cases, even though I wasn't eating properly, I was still in my mind smart enough to know that we have one of the greatest products in lactoferrin, and I was able to go on a website and see exactly how lactoferrin attacks and what it does to our body and how it attacks the toxins and the bad things within our body. Boy, every day I take my lactoferrin gold. I'm so thankful for Dr. Naidu and Nikin for coming up with that particular product, because I think that is an absolutely amazing product, and each and every one of us, in my opinion, should be on that.
What did you find? Where did you find? What did you look up? And what research did you find? And where?
Well, I'll try to find it again, but I found an actual, it was a site that it was a meat company Dr. Naidu, I don't know if he worked for him in the research or whatever, but there was also a video on there, and it actually showed exactly what lactoferrin does in the body, and then all of a sudden one day, it was no longer, I couldn't pick that video up no more, so I'll go back and try and find it again, but that's why, to me, the lactoferrin is so important in our bodies, and it picks up those things and takes them out of our bodies. So I'll leave it at that. I didn't mean to make such a big plug on lactoferrin gold, but I'll tell you, that is a product that every child, in my opinion, if we want to start helping get rid of these toxins and whatever, I don't care if they got a problem or not have a problem, everybody should be taking lactoferrin gold. Because of that one particular thing that Dr. Naidu designed it to do within our bodies.
Yes, it's a very exciting product, and he has told us that it identifies the bad bacteria, opens up the porins on the back of them, and then your antibiotics or your own immune system can then attack and get rid of them.
And Monty just mentioned there about the children, and all children should have it. And remember the gal up in Everett, Kathleen, whose little boy, she had to take him out of school and homeschool him. And when she started putting him, she got him on lactoferrin, and within days, he went from first grade reading to third. She was able to put him back in school the next year. And
who was that?
Kathleen. There's so many Kathleen's in our downline up in Everett. I can't. No. And it wasn't Isaac. It was.
Let me know.
I can see her face.
Okay.
All right.
It's time for us to be closing here. So, you guys, I just want to congratulate you on making the sacrifice of getting up at 7 a.m. and making changes in our body and making that choice. Sometimes that is a sacrifice at 7 a.m., but I think we are educating ourselves, and hopefully we can go out and educate others, or they will listen to the recordings and be able to also make these changes and help other people to do the same, because it is making a difference. Definitely, I think this makes a huge difference in our lives. And the more we learn, the more we will be able to stay right on track. I bet nobody was going to go eat any hamburgers from the store. Or, you know, and when you feel like, oh, I'm just so hungry for a hamburger, you're remembering that MSG flavor that they put in there. And they had to put that in there to cover up the slime. And I think it's been in there for a long time, probably longer than we have, because I have an acute sense of smell, and I just, for a long time, probably five, almost 10 years, I've been unable to have hamburger from the store because I could smell it was rotten. It just smelled awful when it started cooking. So notice that if you happen to be cooking some.
It's just like you can go to the grocery store and buy a hamburger, and it looks nice and red, and you get it home, and you open it up, it's a different color inside. That's all MSG. That has to do with the coloring, the stuff they put in the products.
So if you want to have some hamburger or something, buy organic. I mentioned that the price is more, but you don't have to eat as much of it, and you don't have to eat the junk. Then you don't have junk. Why spend your money buying garbage? So that's a good ending note. So you guys, we'll talk with you tomorrow. Monty will be here with us, and that's always a good day. So have a great day, and thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Ruth.